After experiencing the transformative power of a regular meditation practice, it's natural to feel inspired to share this gift and guide others on their own journey of discovery through meditation. Join Buddhist teacher David Nichtern and Duncan Trussell, comedian and creator of the Netflix animated series The Midnight Gospel, for a free online event on Tuesday, May 7th at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. They'll discuss the profound practices of mindfulness in Dharma Moon's renowned mindfulness meditation teacher training program. Get certified by Dharma Moon to teach meditation, lead group practice sessions, and work with individual students. Visit dharmamoon.com/beherenow for more info and to reserve your spot for the free online event with David Nichtern and Duncan Trussell.
Hello and welcome everyone to the Creativity, Spirituality, and Making a Buck podcast with David Nichtern on the Be Here and Now Network. Welcome everyone.
Thank you, Michael. And just to re-address ourselves to our audience, that you just heard the voice of Michael Kammers, who is our podcast producer and my trusty sidekick. And I'm David Nichtern. And we've undertaken just to have these dialogues and put them out there. They're extremely spontaneous. So I just want you to know that we have, we're totally unprepared actually for what we're about to do. Excuse me. So at the same time, you could look at your whole life as preparation for what we're about to talk about. And in this case, it loosely wraps itself around the idea of meditation. That's our common ground. Michael's been studying meditation with me for a number of years, and he's one of our assistant directors in our teacher training program and doing a great job at that. And he's a celebrated Dharma nerd. He really likes the books and hitting the books and talking about some of the more intricate aspects of the way Buddhist thought has evolved over the centuries. I'm probably equally interested in making the teachings accessible and kind of helpful for people in everyday life situations, hence the title, Creativity, Spirituality, Making a Buck. Everyday life seems to be a really good testing ground for your Dharma study and practice, and the Dharma study and practice should be informed by life itself. So that's what we're up to, and we just go onto these chats. And this time we had the idea of, Michael brought up the idea of getting there. So and that's the title of this podcast. So, Michael, why don't you say a little more about what you mean by that?
Well, yeah, actually, this one was instigated by our co-producer, colleague, and friend, Melissa Mattern, and she phrased it pretty well. Where are we trying to get, and where are we if we're not there?
In a way, that could be the end of the podcast because...
Thank you and good night.
Yeah. Where are we trying to get and where are we if we're not there? So this is in the style of, not really formal koan practice, but the idea of presenting something to your rational linear mind that kind of makes it stop in its tracks and pop open. That's part of the tradition. So, you know, it brings me to Mike to a thought about the conceptual mind, the discursive, the narrative mind, which we're so heavily occupied with and invested with in, and the non-conceptual dimension of awareness and consciousness, which is not framing itself every 5 seconds into some kind of verbal or even narrative kind of process. So I'm going to, again, take this example of this woodpecker on my roof. It's just, I'm thinking blah, 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 blah. And then the click, click, click. And my mind stops. And then very quickly it goes, okay, what is that out there? Oh, it's a woodpecker. And I start explaining to myself what's going on. But the immediate experience of it is so beyond any, it's so ultimate in a sense, that it's bigger than any universe you could ever traverse. Just the experience of the woodpecker tapping on your roof, opens up the gateway to completely non-conceptual perception of reality before any thought enters the mind at all. Pre-thought, non-thought.
I had an interesting experience also with birds recently that just arose in my mind as you were saying that, which sort of like speaks to sort of a middle ground where there's like that unconditioned, unfabricated sense of awareness, right? Non-conceptual mind. And then this whole edifice that spins off, right? That arises into an environment of thought and emotion, right? Sometimes we call them the realms, like your first book and Awakening from the Daydream. But it was when I was going to cast my ballot in the election previously at a drop box. And I was walking down the street and I saw birds. It looked like they were circling basically over the drop box, which is like pretty pretty juicy in the first place, right? But I couldn't make out what kind of bird they were, right? So that sort of like spontaneous careening into conceptual this is this was sort of just suspended midair.
Yeah, beautiful.
And it was really juicy. I just had to be there in the middle of it.
And what everybody who's listening to this, who's intrigued by this for whatever reason, should consider reading is a book called Glimpses of Abhidharma by Chogyam Trungpa Rinpoche. Because what we're really talking about is how consciousness develops very quickly from a raw event, a non-conceptual kind of space, into a highly fabricated and elaborated storyline about what's going on and how fast that happens. So one of the things that they say is it's something like 1/128 of a second. That's a moment of consciousness. And then they stream together into what we, like the frames in a movie, into what we conceive as continuity of our experience. So actually, our experience is not really continuous in that way. And just like a film is not really continuous, it's just a series of frames. Now, when you catch up to the speed of the mind like that, concepts just can't handle that speed. They're just at a slower baud rate, if you want to look at it that way. There's so much information coming in beyond conceptual mind in any second, even when we're completely absorbed in conceptual mind, there's a stream of data coming in from your body, from your environment, that just bypasses that whole aspect, that whole part of your apparatus. And it's the major part of your experience, actually, of being alive and having a mind in the first place. But we're not paying attention to it. Somehow our attention has been captured, if you want to look at it that way, by this narrative part of our mind. And so we spend all of our time and focus there. And I'm not saying everybody should take, you know, some powerful drug and blast the conceptual mind into hyperspace. But at the same time, we could learn how to just notice in an instant, you know, just an instant of awareness, everything is there. And it doesn't need always to be categorized, calibrated, manipulated. That's the job of the ego structure. If you want to survive as an individual, you need to do that. You need some of that. The problem with the ego structure is it then begins to think, well, I'm running the universe here. And it takes the job really too seriously. And it's pulling all that data together in a way that's saying, don't interrupt the way I'm constructing this, because if you do, you're my enemy. And, you know, it's going to start framing out our experience in a very solid way that is unnecessarily humorless.
Humor. It's so important, you know, because otherwise, how can you? It feels like it's related to spaciousness, right? Like you can, it gives you a little space because you're not grasping onto things. So like your own narrative, your own concept, right? Because if you poke a hole in that concept of what your ego or false sense of self is telling you is reality, that part of yourself is threatened, right? And like that's part of the journey is, then you experience fear, discomfort, or like, who am I, right? And so like the meditation practice gives us a gap where we can sort of see these things and make friends with these things. We can see the process happening. We can see the balloon popping maybe for a brief second. And that may put us in touch with that other part of our mind that's not just fixating on concept.
Well, and arguably that part of our mind is inherently freer.
Is that what we're trying to get?
Well, okay, there you go. And sometimes in the Dzogchen tradition, they use the word carefree. There's a great book, I think by Mingyur Rinpoche, Carefree Dignity. So now, carefree is not frivolous or careless. It's interesting to distinguish that. So we're not trying to get to a frivolous place or a sloppy place that you could come to that conclusion. Just let it loose, you know, like just drop your girdle off and hundreds of pounds of fat just roll out onto the ground. You know, there's a tightness or a tautness to it, to that kind of carefreeness. It's very precise at the same time. So who is trying to get somewhere? I guess we would have to add to it, to Melissa's original comment there, is getting there. But in Buddhism, sometimes you track back and go, who's getting there? Who's trying to get there? Who will be there at the end of getting there? And that's really the best inquiry. That's better than where to get. And everybody nudges you back in the chain, who knows, you know, how to process this kind of journey well. Who's trying to get there? And you look at that and you're going to be right on the verge of either seeing clearly the structure of the ego or open space. And you probably see them right close to each other, very close. And we call that co-emergence. The open space and the ego structure co-emerge, they co-arise, and they're kind of close neighbors in that when you see clearly, you see both at once.
I've spent, that's really salient, I think. I've spent a lot of time thinking about who am I, what am I, who is, you know, like, but what you said about the who is it or what is left when you get there? Could you say that again?
I can't say it again because I don't exactly remember.
Everybody listen back.
What I said the first time. So I'll leave that for everybody else to deal with. But what is left when you get there? That's a good question. That could be another podcast. What's left when you get there? Who's trying to get there, and then what's left when you do get there? And there's, you know, I'm. It may sound like we're just jamming freely here, but actually we're drawing on very traditional Buddhist teachings, as I learned from Trungpa Rinpoche. They're embedded in there, and other teachers. And the notion of what is left is described in various ways as kind of emptiness, a vastness. What is not left is a strongly identifiable central figure. So sometimes we talk about a grain of sand and the vastness of everything. There's not much left that you would be in a position to celebrate getting there. So the party is not exactly the party you hoped for. And the direct quote, and I like this quote a lot from Trungpa Rinpoche, enlightenment is ego's final disappointment. So talk about getting there. Now you have your final disappointment right on the, and right before you get there. Because there's nobody really there to cash in, so to speak. Isn't that sweet in a way? Nobody gets to cash in.
It's beautiful. And it's an invitation. And in relating with these teachings and being your student, I've found that these things are invitations to contemplate and meditate, right? Because otherwise it's just a theory, you know? And So I encourage all the listeners to sit with these things and see how it aligns with your experience if you really look closely.
Well, that's and I'm glad you're bringing that up, Michael, because hello, young podcasters, wherever you are. If you're talking about meditation, let's all agree to do some practice. And you know, I work with a lot of different people and I just say, look, let's keep that thread going. It's fine to be very curious and investigative and study and talk about these things, but it just, there has to be some kind of meeting of that experience with the practice itself. Now, some schools, they say, just practice. Don't talk about this kind of stuff. Don't have podcasts, you know, no podcast, no podcaster, no audience. But that's not the world that we're really living in from a practical perspective. So in mixing the two, I think there could be a healthy recipe there.
A healthy recipe for getting there.
Well, there you go, then. I think we've wrapped that one up. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, David. All the best to all of our listeners.
Hello, friends. We'd like to thank you for being you and for listening. /David. Yeah.